Classic Country 90.9 is WFAZ-FM Goodwater, Ashland, Lineville, home of the Clay Central Volunteers on the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network. Things Clay Central football are here now. This is the Football Fiesta, presented by Monte Alban No. 2 Mexican Restaurant and Radio Alabama Sports. Now, here are Coach Chris Herron, Coach Jerry Weems, and Rusty Taylor.
We welcome you here to Football Fiesta live from Monte Alban No. 2 on Aston Square. This is Rusty Taylor, joined by Coach Jerry Weems. Coach Chris Herron, good to be back, man. I kind of missed last week's installment, but I did go back and listen to you, man. You've done a great job with Coach Giddens' help, and I was impressed.
Well, my thoughts.
I thought about just staying home another night. Well, but
my thoughts is we missed you, and we're glad you're back. That's my thought.
Glad to have you back.
Absolutely. We got through it, but it wasn't the same without you.
Well, that's the first one since we've ever done Football Fiesta I've ever missed, so.
How'd you think it went, Coach?
Oh, I thought it was great, you know.
It went just the same as it's going to go tonight.
Maybe one of the best shows we've had.
Well, we're going to try to rival it tonight.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Well, a big win last week. The Volunteers go to 5-0 and 3-0 in region play with a big win over the Sylacauga Aggies, and let's return our focus on that. If you're just now joining us or you're just first-time joining Football Fiesta, that's kind of what it's going to look like. We'll recap last week's game in the first segment, about 15 minutes. Then we'll kind of go a little bit longer than that, obviously. In the next segment, we're going to have our Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Week. This week, it's JT Wilkerson. We'll be having him up here with us with his coach again, the first returning coach, back-to-back weeks, as we're going to have Coach Justin McCollum back up here with us. And then in the third segment, we'll go look at our opponent for tomorrow night, which is the Scottsboro Wildcats. And then in the fourth segment, kind of the last 15 minutes of the hour, we'll look at the top 10 and then our region and how they fared and what they've got going on tomorrow night. Obviously, the weather is it's canceled. There's a few games being canceled around the state. Hopefully, that's kind of the few that we've heard. Hopefully, that's where it stops. But there have been a few games over the state canceled. Don't look like it's going to be terrible tomorrow night. Honestly, most of it looks like it's going to get through here in the morning hours and kind of clear up and look better in the afternoon. Maybe some scattered showers and a little bit of breezy, but I think that'll be it. But Coach Weems, give us your take on last week's big win over Sylacauga.
Well, last week, of course, it was a big homecoming game to begin, and we had a nice crowd there, and some great festivities took place beforehand. But the game got started, and the very first offensive play that Sylacauga had the ball, the Volunteer defense put some pressure on the quarterback and created a turnover, a fumble. And, of course, the Volunteers did what a good team should. They took advantage of that turnover and scored and never looked back from that point. And it was just total domination as all the game, four of the five games have been up to this point. But and one trend was reversed in that game last week. You know, in three of our first four games, we actually passed for more yardage than we rushed for. And last week, that changed in a big way. The Volunteers ran the ball for 277 yards last week and only threw for 64. But you can look at that two ways. First of all, we jumped out to a quick lead, and we didn't need to throw the football. And then secondly, you remember the second half, the quarters were shortened to six-minute quarters with a running clock. So there wasn't as much time there to do things offensively. But the Volunteers jumped on them early. They scored quick and often in the first quarter, and basically the game was determined during that first quarter.
Coach Herron, you spent the whole game up on top of the press box. Give us your take on last week's win over Sylacauga.
Much like Coach Williams said, you know, starting out strong offensively, scoring, getting that quick turnover on the first offensive play for Sylacauga, being able to score right after that and come right back, you know, with a score game within just a matter of, what, about 16, 18 seconds, you know, two touchdowns scored there. By the end of the first quarter, it's already 35-0. You know, and I think at that point, most everybody in the place, you know, kind of understood how the night was going to go for the Vols, and just kind of methodically from there played it on out the rest of the first half, and then into that shortened second half through those quarters that made up the second half, and just a region win. The Vols kind of took care of their business and accomplished what they wanted to. You know, our offensive starters, the guys along the front that we look at each week and try to get those grades for and what kind of percentage they complete their assignments at. Only 22 plays they were graded on, actually, the starters, the offensive starters along the offensive line. And, again, everybody, you know, with the passing grade, as we call it, in the blue. Chance Helms with a 75, our center, our right guard, J.D. Owens, with a 79. Left guard, Cole Rice, a former player of the week a couple of weeks ago at 82. Dewey Brown, our left tackle, 82 for the week. And right tackle, Noah Peterson, his best performance of the year, 85%. So those guys, again, you know, taking care of their business up front, helping lead the way to those 277 yards rushing on only 21 attempts. You know, 64 yards passing on three completions out of four attempts. So they took care of their business along with the rest of the offense and got through it. And as far as I know, pretty healthy and pretty good shape headed into this non-region week play, headed to Scottsboro tomorrow evening.
And when you look at those offensive stats, Rusty, the running stats, some pretty good individual play there. So Gibbons had 109 yards on only four carries, two big option plays there that were broke with him running the football. And then LaDamian Boyd had 77 yards and Kevin Cheery 76. So the stats pretty well balanced out there amongst those three individuals.
Well, you look at the defensive stats, and then receiving stats, we didn't have to throw the football a lot. I think we had three receivers catch a pass last week. I think Calvin Simmons ended up with a 41-yard reception last week. Maybe that was the longest of the night. But when you look at the defensive stats, kind of the tackles, a lot of multiple tackles. Somebody that I wanted to mention is Cole Watts. Cole Watts, filling in as in a backup role, so to speak, there for Amari Ward, came in. Amari unable to dress out last week. And Cole had a good night. He had three solos and four assists. He also had Trendon Glenn. Trendon Glenn led with assists with five. He had five assists and two solos. You also see a youngster, Braden Sprayberry, getting in and getting in three tackles, one solo, two assists. Of course, we'll talk more about JT Wilkerson later, but he had five solos, two assists. Calvin Simmons, two and two. Taylor Boyd with four solos and one assist. So a dominant performance all the way across the board. I think the only thing that you still have the little question mark about, just a small amount, is your kicking game. And that continues to improve, but there you can still see room for improvement. And you keep hoping that you continue to get better at that and kind of take that over and put that behind us. But we're really quiet to do that yet.
Well, then I think what you're looking for there is just consistency, you know, because at times it's one of those things that kind of, you know, as a coach, kind of drive you nuts, because at times it looks really good and at times it just doesn't. And it's not a matter of not being able to do it. It's just a matter of we've got to find that consistency in it with, you know, the kicks and the coverage and Coach Warren, as we talked earlier this week, even, you know, possibly looking at making a few changes along some of those teams for coverage purposes. And that's where you try to give some people an opportunity to play and to perform and contribute and, you know, maybe give some of your starters and your guys that are involved in the game more, you know, a little blow right there. But sometimes you can't do that. And I think those are some of the things that maybe were looked at this week of possibly, you know, some of the personnel on some of those coverage teams in the kicking game.
Well, you go back to that, really, the last 2 weeks. J.T. Wilkerson done a very solid job kicking off, but then we still had him starting at the 35 a lot. We just didn't get down and cover the kicks quite as well.
Exactly.
And on the punt team side of things, I think we've punted once the last 2 weeks, once each week for the last 2 weeks. Well, it's hard to get a good look at what that might look like when you only do it twice, but we did have the punt block this past week.
Right.
That, you obviously, you know that that's got to be cleaned up. Kind of a lot of issues on that particular play from multiple different situations. So, you know, that needs to be cleaned up. Extra point kicking has been solid.
6 for 7 last week.
So, yeah,
overall, you know, and our player of the week 5 for 6. Almost.
Yeah, so that's a solid job for sure. There with Vince Upchurch snapping and Tyler Boyd holding and J.T. Wilkerson kicking. We did see Christian get in there to kick another extra point. You can see improvement in him. He's just learning the game, but you can continue to see improvement in him as a backup and a backup kicker's role. But that's when we're talking about those finer points that we need to clean up, that's a good thing. When we're talking about some of those things, and
but Rusty, those little things you're talking about in the kicking game could become big things, and I think tomorrow night the kicking game, I think it'll play a bigger role in this game than probably it has in the other games that we played, because we're playing a team that's better offensively and defensively, and has a good kicking game of their own. So tomorrow night is the time to have all those kicking problems cleaned up, because field position will be important and will be determined by that kicking game some in this game.
One thing to mention about last week, kind of a, I don't remember it happened just like it happened. Maybe you men do. You've been around it a long time. But the second half, a running clock, we've had that before. But they shortened the quarters to 6 minutes. So
never seen that.
That really speeds the things up. One thing that does is, you know, we had impressive stats last week offensively, but you don't have a lot of opportunity to gain stats. I mean, honestly, what did that second half last, 15 minutes?
Well, we had in the second half offensively, we ran 3 offensive plays that were actually plays. We had a punt block. That's 4 snaps, and our only other offensive snap was at the end of the game, which was basically a kneel.
So that kind of tells you what it looks like.
The stats came from the first half.
It also keeps you from playing your younger guys some that they would have played.
Right.
You know, hurts you from a depth standpoint, experience-wise.
No, to answer your question, I have never experienced 6-minute running clock.
In a varsity game.
And, well, I hadn't either. I mean, we've seen it in, like, junior high or something like that. And we don't even prefer to have 6-minute quarters in junior high, much less
run the clock. Yeah, you see run the clock is at times, but not the reduction in time.
Not the reduction in time. So that was a little bit strange. But we do understand why that was decided to be done. You know, Coach Smelly and his staff felt like that was the best thing for the Aggies, and Coach Horn agreed. So they were doing that. There was a lot of question about that, a lot of confusion about that. But it was a big win regardless. It was a dominating win. And, you know, so the Cocks is a team that won 2 games to start the season.
Right.
That's not and they did have some injuries and stuff that has hampered them. Hopefully they'll get some guys back as they continue on. But it's going to be interesting to watch Sylacauga in some of these region games against teams like Marbury. They've already played Hopeful, but, you know, them and Marbury and some other games moving forward. They're still a shot for them to make the playoffs. They just pretty much have to win out, which is going to be a challenge.
They're not mathematically eliminated at this point yet.
So our good friends Jeremy Law and the crew down there of Sylacauga that cover the Sylacauga Aggies, I think there's better days ahead for them and the Sylacauga Aggies as they continue to rebuild down there. Well, I tell you what, that's going to end our first segment. We're going to take a break and kind of swap some people around here, bring in our Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Week and J.T. Wilkerson, and also his position coach on both sides of the ball, actually.
For the second week.
Coach McCollum.
For the second week, Coach McCollum.
He's doing better than I am.
We may have to get him a microphone.
He's on a streak.
He's on a streak now. He's beating me right now. He's got a better road sheet than I do. So stick around right here for Football Fiesta Live from Monte Albán No. 2.
AltaPoint Health needs caring people to support and assist those who are living with mental illness. If you're passionate about helping others, want to join a growing healthcare company, and are ready to love what you do, then AltaPoint Health is looking for you. Visit altapoint.org to apply.
Ashland Auto Parts, the locally owned and operated Napa Auto Parts store, knows how important it is to keep vehicles running smoothly. High quality parts, tools, and accessories, all backed by Napa reliability. Whether a pro or do-it-yourselfer, Jim, Jack, Ralph, Logan, or Sharon at Ashland Auto Parts can help. Located in the heart of Ashland and open Monday through Saturday, Ashland Auto Parts.
Are you dreaming of starting a new business? Discover the opportunities waiting for you at the Clay County Economic Development Center. Located on Highway 77 in Ashland, across from the Coffee Bean, the newly renovated facility has resources you need to get your business started on the right foot. Whether you need help with financing, building a business plan, or need temporary office space, the Economic Development Center is here to turn your vision into a success.
Don's Pawn and Jewelry in Ashland is a trusted local pawn shop with years of experience serving Clay County residents and beyond. The shop has items including jewelry, electronics, tools, guns, and more. With a reputation for reliability, Don's Pawn and Jewelry has a secure and friendly environment. Conveniently located on Court Square in Ashland, the shop is a well-known spot in the community for quality goods and trusted service. 256-354-2727. 256-354-2727.
East Central Alabama Gas District is a proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network and the Radio Alabama Foundation. Located Highway 77 in Ashland, East Central Alabama Gas has teamed up with Natural Gas Connection as your hometown natural gas appliance store. They offer free financing up to 60 months. East Central Alabama Gas has Generac generators, tankless water heaters, space heaters, and gas logs, as well as grills. Their phone number is 256-354-2194. East Central Alabama Gas District, natural gas, comfortable, responsible.
We welcome you back here to Football Fiesta Live from Monte Albán number 2 on Ashland Square. This is Rusty Taylor. And if you're just now joining us, I'm joined by Coach Jerry Williams right now. Coach Herring gave up his seat for Coach Justin McCollum. Good to have you, Coach.
Glad to be here.
And we've also got... I don't know what's happening here beside me, Coach. I've got the Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Week for last week, JT Wilkerson.
Yes, sir. Blessed to be here.
Let me get things adjusted up here. I have to figure everybody out.
I understand.
When we get new folks, up here, we have to adjust and readjust. So
I got you.
But, well, first of all, Coach, I didn't get to be here last week, so sorry about that. But it is, I know it's got to be an honor to be here 2 weeks in a row with the outside linebackers. You do, Coach, a lot of the same guys on both sides of the football.
I do. I get to – a lot of our outside linebackers are also tight ends and H-backs, so they get tired of me in group work, I'm sure, individual work. But, got a good group. Got a good group. Best group, best two inside or outside linebackers I've had. I've had some good ones, but not two at the same time, if that makes any sense.
And both of them has played other positions on the defense and played with a lot of experience. Maybe not at those positions, but they have a lot of experience in on the defensive side of football.
And experience is you can't put a value on experience. It's you can practice a lot. But until you get in the trenches, get in there in the game action, it's a different world.
Well, I'll tell you this: the guy that's here with us tonight, JT, he's not lacking in experience.
No, I was actually sitting in class today, and I was thinking about JT, thinking about coming up here tonight. And had it not been for a concussion, I guess he would have started every game in his high school career since the ninth grade. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Missed. Concussion in week 10 against Wetumpka and missed the first round.
And
the second round. So he's missed two out of 30-something games now. JT's blessed with great size, and JT's had great size since he was, a little boy, a kid. He's always been big. I mean, not many ninth graders physically are capable of playing as a freshman. But JT was probably 6 foot, 6'1" as a freshman, and was able to start as a safety, and then last year he was a safety as a sophomore, and this year you know, we graduated an outside linebacker, and we you know, we talked about it before, you know, spring. What do we want to do there? And I asked them if I had a vote.
I think so. Did they let you choose?
Well,
I mean, come on, though.
Coach B and I had already talked a good bit, and you know, it was kind of unanimous that we wanted to move JT down. He'd gotten bigger and stronger. And, you know, outside linebacker is one of those positions, you know, you can be on the line of scrimmage with a 250-pound tight end like we're going to have tomorrow night, or you can be out in space guarding a 4-5 running back, you know, going up the sideline or something. So, you know, it's a tough position to play because it is kind of a hybrid position. You know,
much different than old defensive end back in our days.
It is much different, much different. You know, back in them days, you know, you didn't have to be real quick. You had to be able to defeat the reach block and take on some pullers, and you still have to do that. And again, that's what makes it such a unique position, is the fact that certain formations you can be on literally on the line of scrimmage, and you know, next formation you could be chasing a wheel route up the sideline.
And it's hard to find that combination in an individual.
And then the two I've got this year, I think that's what makes them two the best I've had, is Damari has got good size and he's fast, got, you know, good athleticism. But JT, a lot of times I've had good run stoppers, but I maybe didn't have somebody that could cover as well. Well, the good thing about JT and Damari is, you know, offensive coordinators from the opposing team, they can't shift and motion to get my outside linebacker to pick one, you know, that don't do X as good as the other. You know, in the past, we've always swapped. We had a bandit and a jack. You know, and the bandit was usually the bigger and the more physical one, and the jack was usually the one that played more coverage. And this year, I told them, you know, early on in camp, I said, I have confidence that both of you can do both, so we're just going to play sides. You know,
yeah.
If you got trips left, JT, you're on it. You know, if you got trips to the other side tomorrow, you're on it. You know, I think both of y'all are, you know, really good at both, so there's no need in swapping sides.
From a coach standpoint, that's an ideal situation.
It is. It is.
And, you know, people can't scheme on you and get a favorable matchup.
Right. I mean, Coach Williams, you know, you've been in there on Sundays. That's what we do.
That's right.
We try to find a spot where we can, you know, our offensive coaches are looking for holes in their defense, and our defensive coaches, we watch their defense to figure out, is there a spot or is there a player, you know, that maybe not up to par. So, yeah, I mean, it's really nice, you know, and that's another thing I like about our defense. You know, it is so balanced. A 3-4 defense is about as balanced as you can get. And you can slide linebackers and shift your line. You can adjust to any formation. I mean, I know other people run other things, and they know it, and that's what they want to do, and that's fine. But I like what we do here.
When you look back at one thing that stands out to me about JT, of course, we've been watching him since he's been playing all the way up through the junior high years. You know, he's played quarterback, he's played tight, he's played all over the field. Secondary, he's played defensive end, outside linebacker, he's played a little bit of everything. But the week against Benjamin Russell, and it got down to the towards the end, and they had a chance to come back because they had the football. Mm-hmm. And we've got JT out jamming their big receiver on the line of scrimmage, and kind of stopped that deal in the last. I mean, I noticed that that he's capable. That you've got an outside linebacker capable of jamming their best receiver, one of the best receivers you're going to see in the state at the line of scrimmage, and not let him get off and get open.
Yeah, and you know, we've tried that in the past, and to be honest, we've never had real good luck with it. But we've talked about that since, you know, that there in the third quarter, I don't know if you noticed this, but we kind of got away from it.
Yeah.
And they had some explosive plays, not saying because of that, but, you know, we had to go back to it in the fourth quarter, you know, and make that adjustment. But JT, you know, JT's super smart. JT pretty much, I can almost bet you that if you ask him, JT could tell you the back four plus the four linebackers, what they're supposed to do. And he can probably tell you the three linemen. You know, JT's super smart. He plays tight end and H-back, depending on formations, personnel. He split out and play slot receiver. He split out and played split end. But it helps when you're smart.
Absolutely. Well, let's look at JT's stats from last week. JT, our Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Week, he was the headhunter. He had five solo tackles, two assisted tackles there, one caused fumble, one quarterback hurry. I'm giving him a sack.
Yeah.
I mean, you could give him a sack.
And after I read his stats, I got to thinking, did I miss that?
Well, you could call that different ways on that play.
Yeah. Yeah,
but to me it's a sack.
I guess I was just so happy when I kept up with the points and marked it. I didn't know what to mark it. I was glad we made a big play.
But that was a big play, and he was 5 for 6 on extra points, and also graded 90% on his blocking and his offensive assignment. So a great night, JT. Speak to us. We've done a lot of talking and haven't let you talk, and I know you're ready, but speak to that a little bit, and what made you feel a little extra special on Friday night?
Well, we knew it was homecoming, and Coach Horn had preached all week to not get distracted with all the festivities, so I felt like it was a challenge to stay more focused and focus more on your assignment. And, you know, it's just doing your job every play, and good things will happen.
Well, what is it like for you? You've heard us talk about you and Damari playing out there at outside linebacker and kind of blocking down. We go back to Marbury. They're trying to run wide. They keep trying to run right on you guys. And really, you guys were both out there and running them down in the backfield from behind and making a play. But what's it like? Because kind of like he mentioned, having another person on that other side really, really helps, yeah, too. And how's that been this season?
I love having Damari on the other side. I know that if they go over there, then I trust him to make the play. And I know that if they come to my side, I trust myself that I can make the play, and all my other teammates in there too.
Well, let's look back. We mentioned you played safety for 2 years. Also, you know, on the defensive side, we hadn't even talked about the offensive side. How do you feel? Number one, which one do you enjoy more, playing safety or coming down and play? You don't have to look at him. Which one do you enjoy more, being back at safety or playing outside linebacker?
I enjoy linebacker. I've always loved it, safety, whenever I get to walk down and be the strong safety, because it was almost like an outside linebacker. And I played it in junior high, and I've kind of been itching to get back to it, so I was happy whenever they gave me the chance to do it.
So you definitely enjoy it. But do you think – and we've mentioned this, how much do you think playing 2 years of safety and being back there where you can kind of see the whole defense and offense, how much is that, you feel like that's helped you?
Yeah, it's been big. I mean, you know, the secondary and the outside linebackers work hand in hand, so I knew what it was kind of like to be an outside linebacker, because I knew what they were doing, and I think it's big to know what to expect coming into something. So,
well, JT, on breaking it down to the position you're playing now, do you like playing when there's a tight end on your side and you can come up on him, or do you like being out in coverage? Which one of those situations you favor the most?
I enjoy being on the tight end. I think it's more physical, and yeah, it's easier to take on a pulling guard if you're right there with him by the tight end versus having to come in from outside on a receiver. So.
I like to hear that, by the way. He going to get his chance. We're going to see in about 24 hours.
Yeah.
We're going to see.
They like to use the tight end, yep, that's for sure. Yep. And NIH and whatever else you want to call back, yep, there. So they power up. But I know JT's ready for that. You've also had to pick up kind of the kicking duties this year. And I know you probably wouldn't put – and Coach Horn's talked to me a little bit. I don't think – I know you're always that type of player that's willing to do whatever's going to help the team. But that was probably not exactly what you were pushing to do, but you've done a really good job.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, he came to me. He had been mentioning it all offseason that, you know, you're going to have to kick. And I had just kind of been like, all right, well, I mean, I guess I'll do it. And then, you know, going into the offseason, we really put a lot of time and effort into it to get better at it.
So. What basically happened was, JT, here's a square show shoe. Learn how to kick. you ain't got a lot of options here, kid.
Yeah.
And seeing you change that shoe after every kickoff brings back a lot of memories from the old days.
Yes, sir.
I've noticed his daddy has got pretty good at getting out there and getting that shoe changed too. He can't tie his cleats with his gloves on, so Jacob has to tie his shoelaces for him.
Yeah, they've got that timing down.
They do.
We mentioned it on the broadcast. broadcast last week. Actually, noticed that. But he's Johnny on the spot because they don't. You know, used to some of the kickers would get a playoff. JT don't seem to get that playoff much.
And he's kind of gravitated toward the punt team this week too. So
oh my goodness,
his off time is getting less and less. But yeah, I'm gonna say JT and Damari's probably played the most snaps the last 2 years. I may be wrong. Man. They don't get off the field much.
Yeah.
They just don't.
Well, you want your best players on the field as much as you can, and I think you guys are doing a good job of doing that by keeping them both out there all the time. Well, before we let you go, let's talk a little bit about the offensive side. We've seen your ability to catch the football and do those things. You're obviously the backup quarterback. They try to get you some reps when they can at that position. We know you're very capable of playing that position, but you know, this year the welt's been spread so much that they hadn't really had to throw to you. I know you get a lot more balls in practice and a lot more opportunity, but how's it been on offense for you? And we expect that role to expand as the season goes on, because we know the threat you are catching the football.
Yes, sir. Well, I enjoy it. I think that playing tight end, you know, that's kind of who I go against at outside linebacker. It helps me learn what I'm supposed to do and how to play the position, and I enjoy doing both of them, but I love to be on the field, so I'll do whatever they need me to do.
Well, you're a tired puppy on Friday nights, aren't you? Sometimes we look out there, but he just it's always between plays. He never looks tired at all, but you know he's like, well, JT's give out after – and he's had to make a few too many tackles on kickoff coverage too of late. So.
Well, there was a big there was quite a bit of attention pointed to that this week as well. So maybe we can start sprinting down the field a little faster, and maybe we can cover kicks a little better, and maybe he won't have to.
Well, I know the plan.
It's a great weapon to have as your kicker being a starter on defense. I mean, it is. You don't think it's a big deal until somebody breaks one and he makes a tackle.
And you're very confident.
Yeah, I mean,
we've
all seen kickers try to tackle people on kickoff, and I mean, yeah, I wish there was somebody else that could kick it in the end zone every time. And
but
JT
you are prepared for that first play on defense if he can't get his shoe off.
We have a plan. We have a plan. You know, in the past, we've had people that just had a player hold their shoe. And pretty early on in the season, we realized that might be a job for Coach Wilkerson.
Yeah.
Because it is quick. It is quick. And I have his backup ready. But it is still hectic because he's on kickoff. So he's running down. He don't always find me immediately. But I always keep my eyes on JT just to make sure he's going to get that shoe on. And so far, I don't think we've had any really close calls. It's been fine.
Well, they try to give those kickers that stay out there a little bit. You appreciate the officials and the clock stop. They try to get things. I've noticed that they try to give you a little leniency there and before they get things started. Well, I want to get Coach Williams. You got anything for these two before we let them go?
I'm good. I'm just it's glad to have you back for a second week.
Glad to be here.
Good to have JT back and. You know, I'm trying to figure out if he's getting this award for his efforts on the defensive side or the offensive side.
You could
give it for either side.
Absolutely could. Coach, what do you got for us before we let you go?
Well, just, you know, I tell the boys every week, every Friday night, it's a we're bricklayers, and, you know, we got to keep laying the brick 1 week at a time. You know, you want to get better every week, but you don't want to peak at the wrong time. So just slow and steady, get a little better every week, and you know, hope we can handle business the next 4 or 5 weeks, and looking forward to a season. It's a fun group to be around. JT is a great person to coach and a good kid, and just, you know, glad to be here with him. Just we appreciate it, and thank y'all for having us.
Absolutely. Well, JT, you got any closing remarks here? You got anything you want to say? Anybody you want to thank or anything you want to say?
I'd like to thank God. You know, he gives us the opportunity to play this game, and thank my coaches and all my teammates and my parents.
Hey, it's hard to beat that, right?
He checked all the boxes.
He did. And we expected him to, didn't we?
Yep.
Well, this week's Clay Central Sports Network Player of the Week is JT Wilkerson for his performance against Sylacauga on September the 20th. 2024. That is presented by Britches and Bows. Congratulations, JT.
Thank you.
Good job. We'll take a break. Stick with us right here, live from Monte Albán number 2 on Football Fiesta.
The calendar may say September, but this Saturday is Oktoberfest at Farmhouse & Company. Beginning at 3 p.m. this Saturday, Farmhouse will transform into a scene straight from Munich, Germany. The deck will be decorated for pictures, big salted pretzels, and candied apples will also be available. There will be kids' activities on the front lawn. Then the beer stein competition kicks off at 5:30. The authentic schnitzel dinner comes complete with mushroom gravy, German potato salad, and sauerkraut. It's all this Saturday at Farmhouse & Company in downtown Lineville. Proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network.
As you head out to support your boys of fall, know that the team at First Bank of Alabama is prepared to take care of your financial needs. Covering 6 counties with 13 locations, online, mobile, and ATM banking throughout East Central Alabama, we have the products, services, and the most valuable people to allow you to bank when you want, where you want, and how you want. So you can focus on your favorite team, First Bank of Alabama, where you are first. Online at fbal.bank.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The Radio Alabama Foundation is sponsored by loyal listeners and by First Capital Insurance in Lineville. Are you looking for peace of mind? At First Capital Insurance, we've got you covered. From your home to your car to your business to life insurance, we offer tailored coverage that fits your needs and budget. Our expert team is here to guide you through every step, ensuring that you get the protection that you deserve. First Capital Insurance, located at 575 College Street in Lineville. Their phone number is 256-396-2131. With First Capital Insurance, you're not just a policy number, you're family.
Frank's Point of View, a hidden gem overlooking Talladega National Forest. Enjoy endless views, stunning sunsets, and starry nights. Each spacious RV site includes a picnic table, sun canopy, privacy panel, fire pit, and hammock hooks. Hike miles of scenic trails and let your four-legged friends roam free. Frank's Point of View is online at frankspointofview.com. Phone number 256-456-5800. Frank's Point of View, your perfect getaway awaits.
Let's face it, selling a poultry farm is a lot different than selling a home or land. Poultry South understands the unique needs of a poultry farmer. Things like biosecurity, cash flows, poultry house construction, poultry equipment, and government regulations all play a major role in buying and selling poultry farms. The Poultry South team at Southeastern Land Group has years of experience handling all the do's and don'ts in the industry. Since 2012, Poultry South has been the go-to source for the state of Alabama, Georgia, and across the Southeast. The website is PoultrySouth.com, proud supporter of the Clay Central Sports Network. Your local real estate professional, Spencer Lovelace with Southeastern Land Group, is a Clay County native. Spencer is licensed in Alabama and Georgia and services landowners throughout East Central Alabama. He specializes in selling recreational properties, farms, and rural homesteads. Spencer is also a member of the Poultry South team and is dedicated to helping you get top market value for your property. For a market evaluation on your property, the phone number is 256-283-3198. Spencer Lovelace of Southeastern Land Group is the official land agent of Volunteer Voices on Classic Country 90.9.
Welcome you back here to Football Fiesta Live from Monte Albán number 2 on Ashton Square as we move into the second segment here. Now what just happened right there? Y'all got me?
I got you.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe it was a plug-in issue. I think I had a bad connection. But anyway, Coach Heron, obviously you gave your headset up during that time, so we want to give you the opportunity to talk about JT and what you've witnessed over the last few years and last Friday night.
I think he's a fun player for me to watch. He's kind of an old throwback guy, and y'all talked about it with him a while ago. And he's playing offense, he's playing defense, he's playing on special teams. I heard Coach say he's don't be surprised to see him on punt coverage tomorrow night, maybe in a new spot. Yeah, he's one of the guys like you used to see a lot more of around this part of the state. Just one of those guys that he's one of your better athletes, and you want him on the field as much as you can. And that's I enjoy watching him from that perspective. Plus, I mean, he's just a tremendous athlete, and everything they ask him to do, he has success at it, and he works at it, and he's puts in the effort, and he's smart. He, you know, I know he takes coaching well, and that's important, you know, for all the different things that he's asked to do and to learn over time, playing all the different positions. He's moved around in the secondary, mostly at safety, and then bringing him down closer to the line of scrimmage this year at that outside linebacker position, and what that encompasses in the game today, being that space player at times, but still having, like he's going to have to do tomorrow night, come down there and be more on the line as kind of an old-school defensive end. He's fun to watch play, and I've enjoyed watching him through his, you know, his 3 years he's been on our Volunteers.
Well, let's move into our opponent tomorrow night as we travel up, as we'll get this hurricane situation up and out of here in the morning, and we'll head up to Scottsboro, Alabama.
We're going
to
be right behind
our first. That's right. We're going to ride its coattails.
Yeah, we're going to be right behind
up to Scottsboro. But if you hadn't heard, I think school is virtual tomorrow, so they won't be at school. Which there'll be some benefits to that moving forward into tomorrow in some situations, and you can see that in different ways, but it is what it is. But we look at these Scottsboro Wildcats. They come in, I think they're ranked number 7 in 5A, undefeated at 5-0. We've watched a lot of them, and I'm assuming that you men are just like me. You've probably watched the most film you've watched all season yourselves. Mm-hmm. I did preparing for this. It's a very good team. It's one of the better teams we faced, and they're going to present challenges. They do a lot of things different than anybody we played. Consistency. They're more of a power football team. They're going to be in the shotgun, but it's really, to me, it's a wing tee out of two tight a lot of time in the shotgun. It's like a wing tee gun or whatever you want to call it, and a lot of wildcat type looks, and really wanting to run the quarterback, and he's Jake Jones is kind of the key to that. But Coach Heron, I'll go to you first. What's your take just watching and looking at the Scottsboro Wildcats?
Well, I'm kind of like you. It's just, you know, it's kind of a spread. I've looked at it, and in my mind, it's like a spread version of the wing tee. You know, it's basically what it is. You know, it's the pullers, the misdirection, the down blocks, the kickouts, and all those things you see out of a wing tee, an old wing tee offense. And with their quarterback, you know, number 7, I mean, he's the key to the whole thing. I mean, he's it. You know, he's not all they have, but he's the key to the offense and the success they had. They're going to run the ball about probably 75% of the time. And out of those runs, he's going to be the runner about 70 to 75% of the time. You know, so number 7 is the guy offensively, you know, we've got to deal with. And we've got to know where he's at and keep an eye on him and not let him get loose on us running the ball. And then, you know, he does throw it well enough to, you know, kind of, you got to honor that too at times. And one thing that's impressive, I think through 5 games, I think we've seen them currently have 1 turnover through 5 games. So that's a good statistic for them to know that they played that many snaps off of offensive football and only turned it over 1 time. So that's kind of my take on that.
We may just send Coach Freeze up there, you know, to talk to them.
See what kind of drills they're running. Yeah, the ball security drills.
Yeah.
But
get some pointers.
You know, offensively, that's kind of the way I see it. You know, just a spread version of a power wing tee game. That's got the quarterback is the main guy, and we've got to, you know, play well and play those kickouts and down blocks and pulls and look to slow down that running game out of number 7.
Coach Wings, what's your take on the Wildcats?
Well, similar to what Coach Heron said, they'll certainly be the most physical team that we played, and their style of offense is going to dictate that we be physical as well. And you know, they're not explosive on offense. They're more the they try to move the chains with their power running, and they use their H-back quite a bit. In their running game, almost like a guard, really, as their H-back. But their offensive line is not very big. The biggest one is 260, and the rest of them are below that. But they get off the ball real quick. They're aggressive. They get on their blocks. And it's going to be a match for us. And, you know, I think defensively, they start three sophomores and then their secondary. So I look for us to, I think it's a great advantage for us that our passing game has been as good as it has been this year. And I think we'll see us get some good matchups on their secondary people tomorrow night.
I agree with you.
And then one other factor is going to be the kicking game. We talked about that earlier, but they have probably the best kicker that we've seen. We saw him on film kick a 40-yard field goal, and then when he kicks off, most of the time they're touchbacks. So that means the other team is starting on the 20, and that's a big advantage for their defense, that you can start a team on the 20, and the chance of a mistake going 80 yards is a lot higher than if you have to go 50. So they're a solid team, and I look for a good game tomorrow night.
Well, I think you guys have covered them really well. Talk about the youth in the secondary. Their strength is their offense. Their defense, you wouldn't call it their strength. They do have a couple linebackers that stand out to you. Griffin Murdoch is one of those guys. But he ends up stunting or being up on the line of scrimmage as much as he's back playing a linebacker spot. They do play like a 0-4-3 look is what they play.
Yeah, and I think, it seems like but with those down guys, a lot of pinches and ends hard, that time thing, trying to clog up the middle, spilling everything, hopefully trying to spill everything out to those linebackers on the outside.
And they're not really huge. I mean, they're not overall huge. I mean, and those are 250. They got a 215 tackle. Their defensive end's 195, but their linebackers are big. When you look at Lawson Lee and Griffin Murdoch, one of them's 195, one of them's 200, and then the other's 175, Treshawn Austin. So, their defense is not quite as impressive, but their offense very much so. And y'all talked to Coach Tyler Van this morning, and he admits, hey, we're looking to get at least three yards of play.
Yeah.
And that's the way they play the game.
Right.
And we think about that Sand Mountain, the mountain area, yeah, we call it.
Sure.
They love that wing tee type offense. And that's really what this is. It's mm-hmm. just out of a shotgun. So, I mean, it keeps with what they do in that area. And, of course, we do things just a touch different. We're still a power football team. And but it's interesting to go up there. I think this is a good game for both of us, for sure, to challenge both of us and to see things that we don't normally see. Because I don't think they don't normally see a team like us up there either, but we usually don't see a team that plays the game like they do. So it's going to be a little bit different.
And I think, it's interesting, just away from maybe on the field exactly what's happening, but you've got, the Volunteers here of Clay Central in our 13th year, and then you've got the Scottsboro, and in their 112th year, that so 99 years of longer.
They've got a lot more experience.
And that's just, that number's always going to be skewed that way, for the foreseeable future. But that's always interesting to me. 112 seasons they've been playing football there at Scottsboro, a record of 539, 474, and 38 ties throughout over those 112 years. From they've won 9 area and region championships, and kind of being an Alabama guy, a neat little tidbit, nugget, is their stadium's named Pat Trammell Stadium. And then a guy that went on to, he was a high school All-American at Scottsboro in 1957, went on and played for Coach Bryant in Alabama. So that's where he hails from, one of those guys back from the day. The first meeting ever between the Central Vols and the Scottsboro Wildcats.
One person I want to thank before we get off of Scottsboro right here is Greg Bale, which is their play-by-play announcer. I'm going to tell you what, he has challenged me, and, of course, he's asked me for some stuff this week, but he gave us a media package that he put together that's just for this game that he does each week that is unlike anything I've ever witnessed in high school football, and that includes going to state championship games and getting media packages. It is a thorough media package.
It is impressive.
We appreciate Greg and all his, and we were able to talk to him on yesterday on the three-point stance. So we appreciate Greg and look forward to seeing him up there tomorrow night. So we're going to take our last break of the football fiesta and get ready to look at the 5A top 10 and in our opponents and how they fared, and get ready to close this thing out. So you want to stick with us for this last segment right here on Football Fiesta Live from Monte Alba, number 2 on the Ashland Square.
Harris Plumbing and Electric is your local hardware store in Ashland. They started out specializing in plumbing and electric work, but listened to the community and grew into a hardware store. There's no need to travel to big box stores and wander around trying to find something. Think local. Harris Plumbing and Electric on 2nd Street Northwest in Ashland, across from the Ashland City Library.
Hill Auto Sales in Lineville is built on selection and service. They offer quality used cars, trucks, and SUVs for the people throughout this area. We all have different tastes, so Hill Auto Sales searches out the make and model that appeals to the most folks right here at home. Their website is buyfromhill.com. Their phone number is 256-396-1100. Open 8 till 5, Monday through Friday. Hill's Auto Sales is a sponsor of Volunteer Athletics on the Clay Central Sports Network.
Honey's Home Cooking. The sound of that probably takes you back to your mom's special dish or those meals at Grandma's house. A meal at Honey's Cafe may not cause you to spend hours in the kitchen, but it tastes just like you did. Located at 60 Park South in Lineville, Honey's Cafe features meats and vegetables that are cooked fresh each morning. Open Sunday through Friday from 10:30 to 2. Their phone number is 256-396-9101. Honey's Cafe is proud to bring you Volunteer Athletics on the Clay Central Sports Network.
From sleek modern kitchens to timeless classic styles, Integrity Cabinets has the perfect solution for every home. Their custom cabinets are designed to fit unique needs and tastes, ensuring every detail is perfect. Integrity Cabinets, where quality meets integrity, building something amazing together. The phone number is 256-354-1431, and their website is integritycabinets.com. Integrity Cabinets, sponsoring the Clay Central Sports Network and Classic Country 90.9.
Are you tired of spending way too much time deciding what to cook? Matthew's Meat Market in Lineville has heat and eat meals that are perfect for the entire family. How about meatloaf, stuffed pork chops, and bacon-wrapped tenderloin? Located at 61272 Highway 49, north of Lineville, Matthew's Meat Market is open from 8 to 5, Monday through Saturday, with the exception of Wednesdays. Their phone number is 256-396-5694. They're also on Facebook. Matthew's Meat Market, from a local farm to a local table, proud sponsor of the Clay Central Sports Network.
One stop at Piggly Wiggly in Ashland and Lineville, and you realize their investment in today's youth. From the cashiers to those mopping the floors to the ones taking your groceries to the car, many of those are local students. They're learning what it takes to be a part of a team and the value of hard work. Piggly Wiggly has been providing young folks an opportunity for years, and that continues today. Piggly Wiggly in the heart of Ashland and Lineville, proud to support our local schools and the Radio Alabama Foundation.
A brisket biscuit. It's more than a tongue twister. It's a taste bud pleaser. Sassy's Convenience Store in Lineville features smoked brisket as one of their many breakfast items. Sassy's also has bacon, ham, pork chop, and sausage biscuits, and you can even add egg and cheese to any of them. They also have homemade gravy biscuits. Located at 88785 Highway 9 in Lineville, Sassy's is a proud supporter of the Clay Central Sports Network and Classic Country 90.9.
Welcome you back here to Football Fiesta Live from Monte Albán number 2. So we just finished up talking about tomorrow's opponent for the Central High School of Clay County Volunteers, the Scottsboro Wildcats. Let's move into the 5A top 10. Coach Weems, you got the 5A top 10 there, and what they did and what they're going to do tomorrow.
Okay, as we look at the top 10 this week, we had a major change at the top of the poll. The first and second place team swapped places. Catholic of Montgomery jumped from number 2 up to number 1, and Gunnersville, the number 1 team last week, fell into the second spot. And Catholic of Montgomery has a big game this week. They playing at Sarah Land down in Mobile.
It was canceled, Coach, early, late afternoon. Canceled.
Okay, that game has been canceled. And, you know, that was going
to
be an interesting
game. To not be rescheduled, it was.
Yeah. And this is a non-region week, so
it was a 1-1.
Yeah,
number 1 5A, number 1 6A.
But anyway, this being a non-region week, several teams are open. And coach, if I do any other games that have been rescheduled or whatever, you just let me know. Of course, Clay Central's hanging on to the number 3 spot, and we'll go to Scottsboro tomorrow night. Number 4 Leeds will play Briarwood. The 5 and 6 teams, they're open this week. Vigor is number 5. Fairview is number 6. Both of them have open weeks. And, of course, number 7 is the team that the Volunteers play tomorrow night, the Scottsboro Wildcats. The number 8 team is Moody.
That game's been canceled, and, too.
That game has been canceled.
The Moody-Auburn game has been canceled.
This was odd on that game. It was scheduled for tomorrow night, originally tomorrow night, Friday night. And then a couple of days, Tuesday, they moved it to Thursday night.
I don't know who their weatherman is.
And then yesterday, they moved it that it would be a 4 o'clock kickoff today. So that was the last
in
thing
their
that was
mind,
scheduled
they were going
to
beat it.
To kick off at 4 today and then late and then early afternoon just canceled.
I'm just wondering why they're not playing tomorrow night.
I don't understand moving a game from Friday to tonight. I mean, tonight's like, but, you know, if we just had a way of knowing a forecast a few days ahead of time.
Yeah. All right, finishing up right quick.
They didn't call me.
But finishing this up, number 9 is Corner, and they will play the Jacksonville Golden Eagles tomorrow night. And number 10 is Williamson. They'll play Murphy. And only 3 other schools in 5A received votes this week. That would be Shelby County, Russellville, and Carver
Shelby
of Birmingham.
County. That's an interesting one.
Yeah, Shelby County. I think they've had a couple of good wins. But anyway, that's your top 10 this week in 5A.
Well, Coach Herring, take us through our opponents.
Yes, sir, we'll do it. Last week, the Hanley Tigers, they took on Mumford and picked up a region win there, 63-21 to go to 3-2 on the year, 2-1 in region play, and they're at Lynette this week. The Benjamin Russell Wildcats, they traveled up to Spain Park, losing that game 42-15. Falling to 2-3 on the season, 2-1 in region play, and they're stepping out of region this week, hosting the Charles Henderson Trojans, coming up from Troy to play at the Sportsplex. The Valley Rams at 2-2, 1-1 in region play, defeating the Marbury Bulldogs last week, 28-7. They'll be at Russell County, a trip the Vols have made in the past. They'll be at Russell County tomorrow night. Of course, Marbury, we just mentioned, they've dropped that game to Valley last week. They're 0-5 now and 0-3 in region play. They'll be hosting Sipsey Valley there tomorrow night in Deatsville at Marbury High School. Sylacauga, of course, dropping their game to Central last week. They'll be hosting the Jemison Panthers tomorrow night at Legion Stadium over in Sylacauga. Scottsboro, the Vols opponent tomorrow night, 5-0, Coach Williams mentioned, ranked number 7. They're 3-0 in their region play. They defeated Sardis 45-7 last week. And, of course, they'll be hosting the Volunteers of Central Clay County tomorrow night. Elmore County, they went to Beauregard last week. They dropped a game there. Their first of the year, Elmore County now 3-1, 1-1 in region play. They lose to Beauregard 31-13, and they are using this as their open week this week, this non-region playing week. Hopeville, 1-3 on the year, 1-1 open last week. They'll be hosting the Maplesville Red Devils tomorrow night down there in Hopeville. Of course, Beauregard, we mentioned, they moved to 4-1 on the season, still 3-0 right there with the Vols in region play after that 31-13 win over Elmore County. They'll be hosting Andalusia tomorrow night, and Pell City at 2-3 on the season, 1-2 in their 6A region play last week, defeating the Huffman Vikings 55-7. And Pell City open this week as everybody steps out of region play.
Well, Coach, as we get prepared to close here, go ahead and give us your closing remarks, if we don't mind, Coach.
Well, looking forward to this game tomorrow night. It's a game that it's a different type game, a different type of offense, and that, you know, you don't see as often as we used to. And it'll be interesting to see the guys, how they respond tomorrow night, the physicality of it, knowing that, their goal is going to be to run the ball more than throw, and being happy with those 3 or 4 yards if they're able to be successful doing that. And it's just, it's a new team, a new area of the state, a new experience for our players and our coaches, and then, of course, our fans and everybody that goes along with them. And hoping old Helene gets on out of here and move on out. And it's going to be wet. The field's going to be wet. We know that because of the rain that has fallen. So, you'll factor some of those things in. And plenty of ball dry and towels on the trip, but it'll be looking forward to tomorrow night, seeing our Vols against somebody different, somebody new, and see what happens tomorrow night in a non-region game. That's a good game for both teams, and regardless of how it goes, it doesn't affect any either team moving forward into the second half of the season.
Coach Williams.
Well, I'm looking forward just going to Scottsboro. That's, you know, I've been to areas and schools and all.
You're looking forward to 50 taters is what you're looking forward to.
From one end of the state to the other, but I've never been to Scottsboro, and I've certainly never eaten at the where we're going to eat, and that's always a highlight of every trip. So, you know, as y'all have mentioned, you know, we hope this hurricane gets on out and we can get up there and get this game in tomorrow night. And it'll be interesting, you know, watching two actually contrasting styles of teams. You know, one relies on their physical play. The other relies on physical plus explosiveness. So we'll see how all that works out tomorrow night.
And getting there, Taylor, we're going to get their compliments of Hill Auto Sales.
We are. Compliments of Hill Auto Sales.
And they want just one more picture. They put in another picture request.
Complimentary
the comp
meals.
Car.
We're going to get that one. Then we're going to get a complimentary. All of us, are, including Heath Bones, going to get a complimentary.
Maybe
I got
bone.
That. I've got that. Unless I eat two meals. And I could have not told him. I could have used both of those, I guess. But we'll be going up to 50 Taters in Scottsboro and then making a trip on over there to the stadium for the ball game. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification right here.
Classic Country 90.9 is WFAZ-FM, Goodwater, Ashland, Lineville, home of the Clay Central Volunteers on the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network.
As we come back here and get ready to close things out, just a couple of things I need to mention to you, or want to mention to you. Of course, the three-point stance tomorrow, you want to catch all that, is to come on at 8 to 10 each weekday morning. You can always catch that right here on Classic Country 90.9. Also on Saturday Coach.
Interesting Hall of Fame Friday interview tomorrow scheduled and lined up with Coach Jackie O'Neill, formerly of Realtown High School.
So that's very much in our listening area. Those people down that way, hopefully they'll be tuning in and you'll want to tune in. That'll be a good one. I know that's one you guys worked on pretty hard to get lined up, mm-hmm. So I'm glad you were able to do that. And that's always, y'all try to do that each and every Friday. So
that's what we're shooting for.
And, well, Coach, we're already went over. Just somebody might not have normally listened. Tell us what the week kind of looks like Monday through Friday on football.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, I know there's no way to for perfection, it's a little different each day.
It is. Every day is a little bit different. There's certain interviews we try to set up different days. And Monday, our interviews are we have Coach Horn in studio with us to start the week off. And then we'll have Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network normally every Monday talking about everything Auburn and what's happening on the Plains. Tuesday, we talk with Coach Jamie Watts, our cross-country head coach here at Central, and then we normally speak to Mike Paris and the things happening in the Jacksonville State Gamecocks world of athletics on Tuesdays. Wednesdays is kind of a different type day, but a lot of times, sometimes we'll have we normally try to speak there with the opponents, like we did Greg Bell this week from the opponents' play-by-play radio man of the Vols that's coming up on Friday night. If we can have any kind of NASCAR racing things there. A couple of Wednesdays here recently, we've been able to talk with Mr. Brian Crichton, president of the Talladega Super Speedway. That weekend coming up next weekend, the Yellowwood 500 being a week from Sunday. Thursday is a day we look into trying to speak with the opponent head coach of the Vols and Mr. Roger Hoover from the Crimson Tide Sports Network and the things going on in and around the Alabama Athletic Department. Friday is our Hall of Fame Day, and we've been able to speak with different Hall of Fame coaches and high school Hall of Fame coaches. And somewhere throughout the week, we try to work in Coach Skip Holtz, the head coach of the Birmingham Stallions. During this time of the year, he has some family members involved in different levels of football at the collegiate and the professional level. Last week, he was able to travel to where his daughter works for the Seattle Seahawks, and he experienced their game last weekend. And actually, in the morning, right out of the chute at 8 o'clock, if things work well, we'll be having Coach Holtz on with us at 8 o'clock in the morning before Coach O'Neill on the high school on our Hall of Fame Friday.
Coach, I've been working behind the scenes on the NASCAR one that I'm not even going to mention it till it happens, but if it happens, it's a good one.
All right.
It's a big
one. I'm for it.
And that'll be on Wednesday when I'm
off. Yeah, I'm for it.
So. Maybe it's Richard Petty.
Or Bill Elliott.
But it's not quite Richard Petty, and I'll just stop there.
Cal.
I'm not going to tell you. It's not quite. It's not a Petty.
Oh, it's not a Petty.
No, but just keep it.
Jeff Gordon.
No, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but I'm just saying. That's
Dale Earnhardt Jr. Is it a current driver or a former
driver?
No,
it's not a current driver.
Is it a former driver?
It is a former driver.
Okay. Dave Marcus.
No, but we can work.
We've had him before. We've had Dave Marcus before.
So that, you're just hearing a list of names that you could hear if you listen on Wednesday. So,
yeah.
The NASCAR time there on.
Is there a chance this coming Wednesday?
Yes.
Before Talladega the next Sunday. Okay. I'm looking forward to it right now. You got me excited about it.
He's talked to me. He's just some stuff he's trying to make sure. It's kind of an odd situation.
I understand
that. But anyway, so
we won't hurt. Tell him we won't hurt him.
And you can always listen on the Radio Alabama app.
You're
at work and you got maybe you have to listen to your pods in your ears.
And Taylor, all of those interviews and those people share their time with us don't even include the nuggets and tidbits of other information that we share.
Did you mention Brad Law then? Did you?
Yeah, he's on Monday. Yeah, being on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you did, and I just missed him.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, okay. Monday, Coach Horn and Brad Law every Monday.
Okay, so and you never know who else is going to fit in there and fill in, so it's always good. So catch that each weekday morning, 8 to 10. There's the three-point stance. Another thing that happens every Saturday morning is myself and Tommy Wood will do volunteer voices. And we'll be doing it on a little less sleep this week, but we will be doing it on Saturday morning. It airs at 8 o'clock, and it's from 8 to 10 on Saturday. So, and then at 10 o'clock, you can catch the replay of Friday night's football game.
Wow.
So,
you need to get in bed early tonight, Rusty.
Well, I know I need to, but that probably won't happen. So that's something else going on there. And then remember tomorrow night, as always, the Coosa Valley Orthopedics and Sports Medicine at Coosa Valley Medical Center pregame show airs at 6:30. And then we'll move right on into the game at 7 as we'll be traveling up to Scottsboro, bringing you all the action right here on Classic Country 90.9 and the Clay Central Sports Network. Till next time, God bless and go Vols.
Thanks for listening to Football Fiesta, presented by Monte Alban No. 2 Mexican Restaurant. Follow the Volunteers all season long on the official home of the Clay Central Volunteers on the Southern Union State Community College Clay Central Sports Network. On Classic Country 90.9, the Clay Central Sports Network Facebook page, and the Radio Alabama app.